Good morning. My name is Mike, and I'm glad to see you here. For the last month or so, we've been working through a sermon series called The Gathered Church. And what that means is that we've been studying the sections of Scripture that say something along the lines of do X for one another, whatever that X may be for that verse. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage in James that instructs us to pray for one another. I love the book of James. It is my favorite book in the Scriptures. It is short, it is straightforward, it is practical and entirely to the point. Minimal poetry, simple metaphors, just a direct explanation on how to live a life aligned with God's heart. It is a masterclass on delivering truth through love. And it speaks to my blunt nature. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read the passage. Bow your heads with me. Father God, we come before you today to hear from your Scriptures and to hear from your Holy Spirit within our hearts. Open our hearts and minds so that you can speak directly to us through the power of your Spirit within us. Help us to understand your ways and to become the people that you created us to be, to live in community and relationship, to pray for one another and with one another. Let us to grow together, to become the body of Christ in the manner that you created and intended us to be, so that we can serve you united in a way that is holy and righteous and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. James 5:13-18. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Have you ever noticed that God has a bit of an interesting sense of humor? He certainly showed it when he led Gav to assign this particular passage to me. And to explain that, I need to share some of my life with you. I'm not a physically healthy person, and I'm not just referring to the extra weight sitting here. When I was 5 years old, I got sick. Over the space of a few weeks, I went from being a normal kid, just running around, riding my bike, playing, falling over, you know, all the normal 5-year-old things, to being unable to bear my weight on my legs. My parents took me to the hospital here because we were living in Alice Springs at the time. And I got poked and prodded and needled and tested in all sorts of ways by the doctors. And then they told my parents that they needed to take me to Perth so I could be examined by the specialist doctors in Princess Margaret Children's Hospital over there. So we hopped on a plane, we went over there, and once again, I was tested, poked, prodded, needled, all the things, to see why an otherwise healthy boy had just lost the ability to walk. And what they found is that I have a form of rheumatoid arthritis called ankylosing spondylitis. I'm not sure what we've got there. Following this, my family left Alice Springs and moved to WA, and in no small part so that I could be close enough to visit those specialists on a regular basis. Over the years, I've been subjected to more different treatments and medicines than I can remember. As a kid, The arthritis mostly affected me in my legs, my hips, my knees, my ankles, because there are so many little bones and connecting joints in the feet. During winter, my feet would just swell up like balloons. It had a very seasonal pattern to it then. I mostly felt good through the summer. I could run around with the other kids. But as the weather got colder, I slowed down. I started to limp. I had to support my weight by holding on to what was around me, and I spent time in and out of wheelchairs. Had a couple of good years as I went through puberty. The doctors said that I was going into remission, and there was a chance that it just might go away entirely. But that's not what happened. After a couple of years, a couple of very nice years, it came back, and this time it was after my spine. In the years since, it's eaten away the cartilage and the bones in my back. It's fused some of my vertebrae together. And it leaves me in a constant state of pain. The only thing that really changes is the intensity of that pain. I'm actually doing a lot better these days than I have in years due to some new medicines that have been invented that have worked far more effectively than anything I've had access to in the past. But a lot of irreversible damage has already been done. Cartilage does not grow back. And it's resulted in a number of secondary health issues across my life as well, but I won't get into the details of those. And while all of these doctors and nurses and pharmacists and what have you, physiotherapists, were poking and prodding and sharpening their needles, people were praying. My parents are ex-missionaries. My dad is a retired Baptist pastor. Between them, they seem to know every Baptist pastor and missionary of their generation across the country, certainly the ones in WA. So when I got sick, the word spread through family, through friends, through church bulletins. You remember the paper ones that you used to get back in the day? Through announcements. People were praying for me everywhere, all across the country. People I don't know, people who I've never met were praying for me. And I've grown up with that too. I've been prayed over by pastors, by missionaries. I've been anointed with oil. I've had blessings spoken over me. For 31 years now, I've experienced the prayer and blessings of many faithful people. But here I am, standing before you, still arthritic, still dealing with pain, still broken. And now I'm preaching on the passage that says that if we pray faithfully pray for the sick, they will be healed. What happened? I've had enough of talking about myself for now, so let's move on and talk about the gathered church. Let's talk about praying for each other. Let's start with clarifying what prayer is, or rather what it is meant to be. Prayer is a conversation with God, a dialogue. And that means it goes both directions. It is talking and listening. It is not talking to God. It is not talking at God. It is talking with God. It is an active relationship between a father and a child. If you ever wondered why the Lord's Prayer starts with the words, "Our Father who is in heaven," now you know why. I'm a father too, an earthly father. I have a 4-year-old daughter who you see dancing around the aisles during the music. And my daughter likes to talk to me most of the time. And I like to talk to her also most of the time. When we talk, what are we doing? We're building our relationship. We're sharing our love for one another. Our relationship builds when she's asking me for this or that. Our relationship builds when I'm telling her this or that or explaining something. Our relationship builds when she just wants to tell me about her day. Our relationship builds when she wants to rush in and headbutt me and give me a big tackle and sing a silly song at me. As for us, we are all children coming to our Father to build relationship. But that relationship, it doesn't just go between us as individuals and Him. When we come together, when we gather, when we pray together, approaching our Father as a united body in Christ, we build relationship together between us as well. It isn't a mistake, a happy little accident. God made it this way. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes, "Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many." God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Do I have a slide? No, that's all right. God created us and intended us to be united in purpose, in love, in concern, in compassion, and in relationship. Again and again, we are told to love one another, to care for one another, to celebrate with one another, to mourn with one another. And when we praise together, gathered before our Father in heaven, we first build relationship with Him, but we also build relationship with each other. We strengthen those bonds that bind us. We strengthen our love and our community. So, in this spirit of relationship, of the gathered and united body of Christ here today before our Father in heaven, I want to do a little exercise. And it's a scary one. It's going to require you to get out of your seats and do a little bit of relationship building. We're going to take a few minutes for this. I want everyone to get up, to find someone that you don't often talk to, someone outside your regular church social circle, and go talk to them. One-on-one, find someone and ask them how you can pray for them. And then you can take some time to pray for each other. If you don't know the Lord yet, that's okay. You don't have to seek out someone or do any of the praying yourselves. But please allow one of our Christian people here to show you the love of praying for you, of praying that God's hand will be on whatever situation in your life you're comfortable sharing with them. It's going to take, say, 3 minutes for this, and then we'll come back to continue the sermon. All right. You can return to your seats now, or you can stay with the person that you prayed for and continue to build your relationship with them after that service ends. I know that for many of us that felt a little bit scary up front, but doesn't it feel good now to have that sense of community and sharing and love? It's often very difficult to push ourselves past that initial hesitation to reach out and share. It's certainly something that I struggle with beyond my inner circle, but it's always worth it. This is how God wants His church to be. Always praying together. Always caring enough to pray for each other and with each other. Always growing in love and relationship and community through prayer that engages us with one another and with Him. God has heard every prayer brought before Him today. Don't doubt that. He's seen the worry, the stress, the fear, the uncertainty driving the situations that we've prayed about. And He has felt the love, the care, the concern, and the compassion in the prayers brought to Him. And so as our passage says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. But I've left a question unanswered. If the prayer of the faithful and the righteous is so effective, why is my body still broken? Are my earthly parents, all those missionaries, those pastors, those church people, are they unfaithful, unholy, unrighteous? Did God measure them and decided that their lives weren't worth listening to? Their prayers weren't worth hearing? No, not at all. He's heard them. He's seen the genuine faith in their hearts. He's seen the love that they have for me, their hope in His mercy and in His power. But God has His own plans. In our passage, James uses Elijah as an example of a regular, mortal, sinful, fallen human being praying faithfully to God and seeing powerful results. One thing he doesn't point out, though, is this. God had already told Elijah that He was about to send rain and end that drought before Elijah went up to the mount to pray. Elijah saw results not just because he was faithful, but because he prayed in accordance with God's will. It says in the Bible that the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of humanity. And what that means is that God can see a bigger picture that is beyond our comprehension. God has a bigger plan for the sake of His glory. Scripture tells us of a time when Jesus and His disciples encounter a man who'd been blind from birth. The disciples immediately assume that this man has somehow earned this punishment through sin. But Jesus says to them, "No, this is not because of sin. This is so that the works of God might be displayed." And there are other similar examples. Lazarus was allowed to die so that God's glory would be displayed through Jesus when he was subsequently raised from the dead. Sometimes God says, "Not now," because He has a much bigger payoff planned for later. But sometimes it's to teach us the vital lesson of learning to depend not on ourselves, not on our own strength, but upon Him. In 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us that he has a thorn in his flesh. He doesn't tell us exactly what this is, whether it's a sickness or an injury or a sin that he's dealing with. We don't know. But he prays and he calls upon God to take it away. And Jesus answers him and says, "No, my grace is enough for you." Paul's pain was allowed to persist because God was using it to teach him to live in full reliance upon His mercy. For me, I've come to believe that this is the reason for my pain as well. God has taken something ugly and He's using it to build something beautiful in my life. I don't live in any strength of my own because I haven't got any. I live entirely in God's strength. The love, the joy, and the peace of this, outweighs any harm that my body can experience by far. God does what he does for the sake of his love, but also for the sake of his glory, his righteousness, and his kingdom. Sometimes these goals are better served by a miracle in the body of Christ than in the body of Mike. And you know what happened? All those times that the people prayed for me and with me, relationship grew within that body. When I was a kid, that was largely between those praying and my parents. But as I grew older and more aware of what was going on around me, the relationship connected to me as well. God has other plans for me than the healing of my body. But even so, I'd be very glad for any of you to pray for me or with me, that our relationship may grow together as the body of Christ. We can be witness together to the miracles in the more important body. If you're a regular attendee here, you'll probably have noticed that after a church service finishes, our pastors and our elders come up the front and they gather here, and people who feel a strong need for prayer come up and talk to them and get prayed for. I will tell you now, that job should not be exclusive to them. All of us who love the Lord should be ready and available to pray for anyone, whether we've been a Christian for 60 years or 60 seconds. This is something that we can and should be doing. Any one of us can call out to God and ask him to shine mercy on those around us. You don't need to know any fancy words or Christianese phrases that you might have heard from the pulpit or from the prayers up the front. You can say something as simple as, God, I've just met this person. They've got this thing going on that's hurting them. They need your help. Please help them. Amen. That's enough. God hears that. But more importantly, he hears the genuine heart and love that sits behind it. And while God is taking care of the big problem, you're down here building relationship. You're taking the scattered seeds, the threads of individual lives, and you're weaving them together into the body of Christ. You are building the church as God intended it to be. And this summarizes the whole point of this series. The world, the secular world, it prizes individuality. It tells us we have to defend our independence. We have to build our own little kingdoms and defend them from each other. This is an ambition of a sinful world. It's not God's desire for us. I've used the phrase a lot, the body of Christ. When we become followers of Christ, we cede our independence to become one body, united in the Lord. We need to gather the parts of the body, to find them, to connect them together into where they should be, and ensure that they are all working in concert to carry out the great works that God has tasked us with. Praying both for and with each other is an essential part of this. It's not an optional one. If you want to grow closer to God, you need to grow closer to his church as well. There is no such thing as an independent Christian. One of the best and easiest ways to ensure that you do this is to join a home group and make every effort to attend. We used to call them Bible studies back in the day, but that phrase is too narrow to describe what they should be. And don't misunderstand me, studying scripture together is wonderful and important. But more important is living the scripture by making time to be with other Christians, to love them, to care for them, to pray for them and with them. If you aren't in a home group, please go and talk to Pastor Ian. He coordinates these groups and he can help you to find the right group to fit in. Let go of your independence. Gather together and grow in relationship through praying together in love. Let's pray together now. Father God, we've sent a lot of prayers up to you today, and we know that you hear them. We know that you see into our hearts. You see the love that we have, the compassion and the mercy for one another. And we know that you are a loving and compassionate and merciful God. We pray, Father, that you act upon our prayers, that you take our faith and you respond with miracles here. But we also know that your plan is bigger than ours. Your perspective is bigger than ours. You see the things that we can't. You see the greater picture. And so, Father, we put our trust in you that not only will you answer our prayers, but you will do so in alignment with your kingdom and your righteousness and your great wisdom. We pray that you help us to put aside our fear of stepping out of our comfort zones and our common social circles, and help us to connect and unite together, to truly be one body following you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.